January 17th, 2021. And today's message I've entitled Memorial Stones. Memorial Stones. Let me tell you what I'm going to tell you, then I'll tell you. Okay? Basically, this message is, as you'll see when we look through the scripture, is God wanted his people to remember. And the reason he wanted his people to remember is just not to give mental assent to a part in history or something that happened in the past so that you could say God is good, but that so that that event would, in your now moment, be a foundation you can stand on to trust for this moment. And every memorial stone in the past that you and God have walked through lays a foundation that gets, I don't know how else to say it, higher and higher and higher, or stronger and stronger and stronger, so that you can stand in the face of any moment and either say, God can be trusted, or I can do what God called me to do in this moment. That's what a memorial stone's for. That's all I'm going to tell you today. We can actually go home now. Joshua 4, 1 through 7 is the scripture that we are going to look at. And it came to pass when all the people were clean, clean meaning God said, Joshua, prepare the people. You're going to cross Jordan in 3 days. You just can't always do what you think if God tells you to do something, you might have to prepare to do it. Like here. He told the people, sanctify yourself, prepare yourself for what you're about to do. And so the people were clean. They passed over Jordan, that the Lord spoke to Joshua saying, take 12 men out of the people, out of all the people, out of every tribe. So that would be one person for every tribe, right? There's 12 people he wants them to pick. There's 12 tribes. There's going to be one person from every tribe. Next verse, verse 3. And he said, God said, command them, saying, take out of the middle of the Jordan, out of the place where the priest's feet stood, 12 stones. So they're going to walk in. They're each going to grab a stone or a boulder. Who knows how big they were? I would imagine they didn't grab like a little river rock. I would imagine they probably grabbed something that had some weight to it, some girth. I mean, this is something that's going to have to last. Because you'll see why. And they said, carry it over with you and leave them in where you're going to stay all night. Next verse. And then Joshua called the 12 men whom he had prepared from the children of Israel, out of every tribe, a man. And Joshua said to them, pass over before the ark and your God in the midst of the Jordan and take every man a stone upon his shoulder. Carry it, bear it, shoulder, bear it. According unto the number of the tribes of the children of Israel. And here's why it's called memorial. And this shall be a sign among you. A sign. When you see it, it's going to alert you to something. That when your children ask, it's not only going to be a sign for you, it's going to be a sign for the generation after you. And the generation after them. Memorial stones. And when their children ask their fathers in the time to come, what do these stones mean? Next verse. And you shall answer them that the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. And when we passed over the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan, they split. And these stones shall be a memorial unto the children of Israel. How long? Forever. That's a memorial stone. Father, thank you for your word. By your spirit that indwells your people, I thank you for revealing to us corporately and individually what it is you would have us to see today, Lord. See, that give us eyes to see and ears to hear. And Father, may it not only be words that we hear, but Lord, that are transforming us into your image and into the design that you have for us. Just like you tell us, train up a child in the way they should go. I thank you that as a good father, Lord, you train us up in the way we should go individually. And so thank you for revealing more of that today in Jesus' name. And everybody who wants that says, butt up. Butt up is how Cody said amen when she was 7 months. I just had a flashback. This one time we were weighing her on the coffee table. You remember when they had those scales and you'd put your baby on the scale? Remember those? No, I know you're all looking at me like, does anybody remember those? Yeah. You put your baby on them and you're weighing them and you're looking down at that little wheel. Well, what we didn't know happened was that she already flopped off, hit the table, and landed on the floor. You remember that? We're like, she's 0. So you hit your head at a very young age. Memorial stones, when your children ask, it's something that's planted as a reminder that God is faithful and worthy of your trust. God wanted them to take these stones out of that place where he showed up so that not only would they see them to remember that he's with them and that he's effective and an on-time God in their lives to meet a need, they had to go across this river as millions of people. How are they going to do it? Well, he splits the Jordan and they walk across on dry ground. Does that sound familiar? God will always give 2 to 3 witnesses in his word of a truth. And he'll repeat things. It's all about the character and nature of truth and justice, that there must be 2 or 3 witnesses. That's why you have a jury when you go into a trial. If it's a just court, it's the jury of your peers so that they can all listen and they can give witness and testimony and listen to testimony and be a witness to the judgment that will be given. And so God does that. That's why when Jesus was born, you have Mary and Joseph, you have shepherds, and you have magi. They're there as witnesses to testify to the truth. And so they put these stones out as a memory, as a sign that God did this as a nation, brought us into this land. Because when they crossed Jordan, that's right where they stepped onto their inheritance. That's right where God said, this is where I'm taking you. This is the beginning of your future. This is the land flowing with milk and honey that I promised you. I want you to put a marker down to tell the generations after you to remind you that I was with you. And so 40 years earlier, the same thing happened. They crossed the Red Sea, but God didn't ask them to bring stones out of the Red Sea and plant them at the corner. Why? It wasn't their land. But he gave them a memorial the same way. Do you remember what the memorial was? The Passover. Prior to the event, he said, Moses, he said, I'm going to come into the land tonight and I'm going to do something that is going to, you're going to remember for the rest of your life, and the children of Israel are going to remember forever. And he said, this will be a memorial to you. I would show you the scriptures. I have them in there, but for the sake of time, I'm not. You can go look at them. It's in Exodus chapter 12. And he says, this day, this shall be a memorial to you, that when your children ask, God's big on children asking. God's big on generational relationship and legacy. He's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And so he's big on legacy. He looks down the corridors of time and he sees things that aren't as though they are. He already sees your great-grandbabies. He already, but to him, he sees them as I don't want to go there. Okay, so he says, this shall be a memorial to you. What? Put the blood on the doorposts and the lentils of your house. And when the death angel comes through, last week we learned that might not be such a bad angel. Right? That could be God and the council, the divine council, and say, all right, Michael, go do your thing. And he comes in, and what does he do? He takes out all the firstborn. And God says to Moses, this is a memorial. This is a feast. This is the Passover. You will do this every year. Every year, as time comes around. Notice I'm not going as time comes around. As time comes around again, year after year, and it's pregnant with that memorial. I just don't want you to remember what I did. I want you to know that on the foundation of what I did, I'm still here with you in your moment today to accomplish my task and my kingdom through you. And so when your children ask, he gives memorials to every generation. He gives memorials to every child of his. Do you have memorial stones? Do you have those places upon which you stand today that were laid years ago and years ago that you can stand on today and face whatever with a confidence and a peace that the God you know today is your provider, your protector, is your source for what he's called you to do. He wants you to know. You see, I can say, and I'm sure many of you can say, that today when I face something, I don't know what I'm going to face. I don't know what I'm going to face tomorrow. Jesus said, don't worry about tomorrow. Today's got enough problems, but I don't know what I'm going to face. But when I go to that in my tomorrow, I know that I go to that with memorial stones that have been built in my past. And I can face them because the same God that raised Jesus from the dead lives in me. I wasn't there when Jesus died. You weren't there when Jesus died. And Jesus said to his disciples, he said, blessed are you for you have seen me, but how much more blessed are they who haven't seen me and believe? And so I have in my past memorial stones. Not just the ones like I just mentioned of Jesus dying on the cross. That's incredible. I mean, what bigger thing is there that happened in the history of time, that Jesus dying on the cross, that God became a man and died on a cross because he came to his own, but his own didn't receive him. But to as many as received him, he gave them the power to become sons of God. He was rejected. What greater event? But anyway, when I come to my tomorrows because of personal experiences, I haven't seen Jesus, but Jesus lives in me, right? He lives in you. Are you walking with the Lord? Are you abiding in him? And so what happens when you abide in him is he will, in seasons, create memorial stones for you. You will have experiences where you're so frightened and you're paralyzed by fear, or there's no way that this is going to happen because there's no provision, or things are coming against you, and then all of a sudden, you see God moving away. That you don't care what anybody else thinks. You know God moved. You know God acted on your behalf. You know he did a miracle, and nobody can take that from you. That's your memorial stone. Nobody else's. And so when I come to tomorrow, I have no idea what's going to happen. And so as you build on these memorial stones, what happens? You begin to incarnate Proverbs chapter 3. You know what verse I'm going to. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. Why does he tell us not lean? Don't lean to your own understanding. Because you cannot figure this thing out. And what memorial stones do is they help you in this reality. Tell me. That's Micah. Tell me. You ask him a question. Micah, what's your favorite color? Tell me. If you were in the company of the Israelites and you're back, let's go further. If you were in Egypt and you were a slave, and your cries came before God, because isn't that what God told Moses? The people's cries have come before me. If you were crying out to God and you were praying on how he would deliver you out of slavery, what would you have asked for? How would you have in your mind thought about it happening? Would anybody have thought of a Passover? None of us would have. Nobody would have thought of a Passover. Because eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor has it entered the heart of man, the things that God has prepared for them that love him. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. Why? Because what God does to build a memorial stone in you, you would have never thought of. That's why it's a memorial stone. All right, now you're out of Egypt, and now you're rejoicing and you're free. And in 3 days, because you're still a slave in your heart, you say things like, did God bring us out here to kill us? I mean, is that what he did? Your back is against the Red Sea. You see dust off in the distance. It looks like a sandstorm. But no, now you hear the thunder and the rumbling of horse hooves and chariots. It's Pharaoh's army. Your back is against the Red Sea. Pharaoh's army is coming this way. You are soon to have a spear thrust through you or trampled by horses and chariots. Tell me. Which of you would have prayed, I know. See this water, Lord? Split it. And we'll walk through on dry ground. And then once we're through, here's what you can do. Let the whole Egyptian army get drowned by it. And then we'll stand on the other side. Who would have thought of that? If you're thinking, oh yeah, I would have thought of that. So that's because you are in the New Testament. You read it. You wouldn't have thought of it. Who would have thought, let's see, we're across the Jordan now, and God wants us to take this city, Jericho. What military expertise should we use? How many swords do we have? How many men do we have? How many skilled warriors do we have? Can the women fight? And God says, here's what I want you to do. I want you to march around the city. Okay, then what? You know, all the zealots. All the crazy warrior men and women are like, okay, now what? Are we going to attack? Are we going to leap over the wall? No, I just want you to march around. I don't want you to talk. I don't want you to do anything. I just want you to march around. And then on the seventh day, I want you to march around 7 times. And then once the signal is given, I want you to shout. And then you're going to see me do something miraculous. Who would have thought of that? None of us. And so the reason I share that with you is because when you talk about memorial stones that I'm going to give you some examples of, when you come to the place in the now, you can rest because you don't have to figure it out. Because you can't figure it out. God figures it out. God knows it. God knows what's going to happen. If you were here, oh, I don't know, 4 weeks ago, I talked about a shepherd's staff. And when King David, before he was king, when he came upon the scene of Goliath and Israel and the Philistines, you remember the story, he said, what's going on? They told him what was going on. And He said, how come nobody hasn't gone over here and taken care of this uncircumcised Philistine? In other words, somebody without covenant with God. We have covenant with God. Why isn't anybody going out there? This is our land. This is my inheritance. This is the land of Judah. Why isn't anybody going out there? So Saul says, all right, you want to go out there here, put on my armor. And he's like, no, not my armor, not my hoodie. Not my hoodie. He's like, I don't want to wear what my wife wants me to wear. Like, I don't want to wear what the king wants me to wear. I want to wear what I'm comfortable with. So he shakes all that off. And if you read the scripture, when it was time for him to go out, what did he grab? Almost hit that base, Tim Tom. What did he grab? His slingshot. He grabbed his slingshot and he went and he got five smooth stones. And I shared with you, I never saw it before. It says he grabbed his staff. He grabbed his staff. Why did he grab his staff? Was he going to go out there like this and go, come here, Goliath. I'm going to hit you on the head. Is that why he grabbed his staff? No, the reason he grabbed his staff is what shepherds would do is they would carve into their staffs memorial stones. In other words, they would carve into their staffs, the events of their life in such a way that if you looked at an old shepherd's staff, you could go and you could see all the stories that were of significance to him. And so what David had on his staff, you would look and you go, oh, there's a number 8. What's the number 8 for? And he'd say, oh, I'm the 8th born. I'm the youngest. And then you'd look and you'd say, oh, there's a lion on there. Why is there a lion on there? Well, two reasons. I'm from the tribe of Judah. But also one day a lion came against my sheep and God gave me victory over him and I killed him. There's a bear. What's that? Same thing. And you would go and you would see all the way up his staff the events that happened. And so what he was doing was he was taking his memorial stones with him out on that battlefield. And it gave him the boldness of a lion and the confidence, confideo, trust in God, confidence to be able to stand before a warrior. And you know that he took it out on the battlefield with him. Because what did Goliath say? You come at me with sticks and stones to break my bones. You came at me with sticks. Goliath saw just a stick. But what he didn't know was that had a history. And the history wasn't about what God just did in the past, but he knew that the God who did those things in the past were now with him on that battlefield. And that's why he could run at Goliath. And at some point, he laid the staff down because then he took up his sling and he sent that smart missile right into Goliath's forehead. And it didn't matter where he threw that stone, but I'm sure he was good at it. I mean, if you gave David 100 stones and you put a bunch of cans on fence posts, he probably hit most of them. He probably wouldn't hit all of them. But that day, it didn't matter where that rock went because it wasn't him throwing it. It was God. And he knew that. And so why does that crazy Jewish pastor have that stick that says 2014 on it? About 2 months ago when I heard about the revelation of understanding what a staff is, I just felt God whisper to me and say, get yourself a staff. Because you have a lot to put on there. And I thought, what a cool idea. And then I also came into the understanding about time and how time is like a spiral, not a linear line. And so I'm going to put my memorial stones up it in a spiral path. Side note, about 2 weeks after that, I'm on Facebook and I see a tattoo of somebody who did Harry Potter staffs in their staffs. And guess what's going around them? Just like that. I thought, that stinking devil. Stole, wants a counterfeit. Everything the enemy does is counterfeit. Takes what was meant for good and uses it for evil and defiles it. Some of you are going, Harry Potter, what's wrong? I'm just saying, it's got the occult overtones, and that's where it came from. So that's why I have this staff. I have nothing on it yet, but I'm going to get me a wood burner. And I did some study, and I looked on YouTube, and I'm going to get me a wood burner. I'm going to start somewhere down here. I don't want to start too low because I might wear it out down on the bottom, but I'm going to put some things on there. And the reason I'm going to put things on there is not because I'm going to think this staff has any power in and of itself. You can relax. I'm not going to take this staff everywhere I go. But here's what I'm hoping. I should say, here's what I'm planning. Is that one day when I'm dead, and my kids have to go through my stuff, or my grandbabies, or my great-grandbabies, or my great-great-grandbabies see this staff, they're going to ask a question. And they're going to say, what is that tornado on there for? Or they're going to say, what's that staff? And they're going to go, well, your great-great-grandpa was the very first one that he knows of in his family that Jesus infiltrated his family line. The other side had it for a while. But his side, to the best of his knowledge, Jesus invaded him and started a lineage. And they're going to see dates on there. And one of those dates will be their birthday because they need to know they're special. And they need to know that their arrows in a quiver of grandpa's quiver or great-grandpa's quiver or mommy and dad's quiver, and that their lives are not just random mistakes floating through the cosmos on a blue ball, but that they are going to help fulfill the prayers of those who came before them. And God is going to use them and the generations before them and after them to bring his kingdom. And so I'm going to put things on here. And I made a list of my memorial stones. I made a list of things that I want to put on here. And I'm going to put them on here, and I'm going to leave room because I trust that I'm going to have more to put on if I don't die soon or whatever. But I'm going to put on here somewhere about, September, October 1985. That's when. That's when he opened my eyes and my life changed. I was dead. That day I came alive. I was blind and now I can see. There's going to be birthdays, anniversaries. I told you there's going to be a picture of a tornado. There's going to be a picture of a tornado because I shared with you that dream. God speaks to me in dreams. And in that particular dream, I took a tornado ride. Did you ever take a tornado ride? I have. I'm not boasting. I'm telling you my memorial stones. When you've ridden a tornado, weather doesn't scare you anymore. There's going to be a tornado in there. There's going to be a black warrior figure on there. on a battlefield. That'll probably just be a line with some grass coming out of it. Do you ever willingly give your child to death? I have. And when you willingly give a child to death, there's not much that can shake you. And so all the way up this staff is going to be memorial stones. See, I don't have to carry around a stone. This is easier. And you need to not get yourself a staff, but you need to document, you need to remember your memorial stones. And if you don't have any, you're either blind or you have need of endurance. Blind meaning God has given you memorial stones, you just don't see them. Endurance meaning that you haven't pressed in yet. I can tell you of a surety, God wants to give you memorial stones. I can tell you of a surety, God has probably already given you memorial stones. But the scripture in Hebrews says this, it says, for you have need of endurance that after you've done the will of God, you will receive what was promised. God says, I want to give you memorial stones. But you need endurance. It just breaks my heart to think there's believers who can't discern the voice of God at all. That there's so many voices and you can't figure out if it's yours, if it's the devil, it's the world, or it's if it's your shepherd. And Jesus said, my sheep, what? Know my voice. Have I ever been wrong? Absolutely. Will I be wrong in the future? Absolutely. But I know that voice so much better than I knew that voice 36 years ago. And the way that you develop that voice is by abiding in him, spending time with him, pursuing him, seeking him. He makes you a promise. If you seek me, what? Is God a liar? So you can say, well, I sought God and I sought God and I sought God and I didn't get nothing. You gave up. You have need of endurance. Paul said, when I was a child, I thought as a child, reasoned as a child, spoke as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. When I said that last week, something inside me jumped. That's why I'm bringing it up again. You have a need of endurance. Let's go back to the how many are hot, how many are cold, how many are just right. Do you walk through life with your own mindsets and never ask God, is this how you see it? Well, this is just the way I am. Well, ask God, is that the way that he sees it? Is that the way he sees it? Would, if you lived in 1940s and you were a Jew in a concentration camp and Hitler got killed, would you rejoice? Is that how God saw it? Does God rejoice over the death of his enemies? What does he tell us to do to our enemies? Pray for them and? Some of you said it. Say it louder. Love your enemies. Why does God tell us to love our enemies? So he can torture us. No, because that's who he is. He loves his enemies. How do I know he loves his enemies? Because he loved me. And he loved you. Well, don't you dare compare me to Hitler. All right, I won't. God will. You were his enemy. Read it. But while we were his enemies, in Romans, while we were his enemies, God demonstrated his love toward us. And so he says, how can you say you love me who you don't see when you can't love someone you can see? Did you ever ask the question, is this how you see it, Lord? And so when you thought you were seeking God, is it possible you were so caught up in your own mindsets and your own ways and the way you had an expectation of how God would move or what God would say or how God would post himself on your side? What do you want me to do for you, little brother? I want you to beat that guy up. Joshua is getting ready to go into the promised land, and the angel of the Lord comes and he says, are you on our side or their side? He says, neither. I'm on the Lord's side. So when I was a child, I thought as a child, reasoned as a child, spoke as a child. When I became a man, I did away with childish things. We have to do away with childish things. We need endurance. When you grow up, you know how it is. You take responsibility for things you did not take responsibility for when you were younger. That's what it means to grow up. Why in here? That's what it means to grow up. You take responsibility for things that you did not take responsibility for when you were younger. Prophet said, oh, that I might not sin against you, God, and not praying for them. It's not my problem. Not my problem. Is that your thought, or is that how God feels about it? And so as you seek God in that way, as you, the Bible calls it humbling yourself, try and make your heart a blank slate. Try and make your mind a blank slate. I don't mean like a nirvana. I don't mean like that kind of thing. I mean, go to God, allowing him to speak what he wants to speak to you without having your lens on already and your funnel through which he can only speak through. Jesus went into his hometown. He could not do many great works. Why? Because of their unbelief. Why? Because they had a mindset that this is just Joseph's boy. This is just nobody. And so if you want a memorial stone, if you want God to plant in your life something that you can go back to, and it's not just for you, it's for your children, and it's for your children's children and their children, you have to seek God. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And so you have to some days push the plate away. Well, wait a minute, it's not January. It's not the first week of January. We don't fast, huh? It's not Easter. It's not Christmas. What do I have to fast for? And that the Holy Spirit would actually say to you, hey, I'd like you to, for the next couple days, to seek me. Why? God's this narcissistic, proud, bullheaded God that just needs you to praise him and die to yourself for his sake. Whose sake is it for? It's for your sake. It's for your sake. There is nothing in this world that compares to fellowship with God when he shows up to you in a manifest way. Nothing. And if you've never experienced that, you should want to. You get changed. So there's a difference between quoting scripture like it's like you're trying to conjure up some type of faith and having journeyed with God for years and decades to know that you are now resting in that scripture's reality to face today. Big difference. So many times I may be judging, but I like to think it's discernment. I may be judging, but I like to think it's discernment. Sometimes I hear people quote scripture and it's like they're trying to, you can just tell they don't believe it. They're just trying to say it out loud, hope it's like some type of magic trick, a hocus pocus, like a wand that God will somehow come into that moment and just somehow make faith arise when all along you didn't even seek him. And I know people personally who when we do this, watch, God is good all the time. I know someone personally who hated that. They didn't hate it because it was stupid. They didn't hate it because it was cliche. They hated it because when they heard it, inside their heart, they knew their heart was saying, he's not really good. They hated it. And so people always say things like, well, yeah, and I realize what just happened, but God works all things together for good. I hope. I heard somebody say that. I read it once. There's a big difference between that and standing in the tornado of it and resting. Sleeping in the back of the boat with Jesus while the storm is raging because you have seen him face to face and you have memorial stones that have been built on and now you live in that reality. And people look at you and go, are you okay? Why aren't you freaking out like everybody else is? Don't you know there's a pandemic? Don't you know there's a virus going around that could kill you? And I'm not taking that lightly. It's a reality. We've experienced that as a church family, haven't we? Our sister Marcia right now is with the Lord. For whatever reason, the virus did its number on her. But God numbers our days. In our natural mind, trust not in your own understanding, I went, man, Bill has it too. Oh my. Is Bill going to make it? He's so weak. He's so this. He's so that. Bill got it. Bounces right back. Marcia didn't. Have no idea what tomorrow holds for me. Ready for the cliche? But I know who holds tomorrow. And I either say that like a cliche or I just trust it. Sometimes I really believe the greatest worship Father can receive is when his children say nothing but can rest in the reality of all who he is. Do you ever hear the phrase, sometimes the boat blowing its horn the loudest is in the deepest fog? I think sometimes that's true in churches. The person yelling amen the loudest. That amen is really a, I hope so. And there's nothing wrong with that. I'm just saying, are you there or are you at the place where you can, the memorial stones have built up in you such a confidence. I think of believers in other countries who don't have this privilege, who have to meet in hiding because of the governments that they live under. And we live in this place. Thank God for a building. Thank God for a climate control. Thank God for a padded pew. Thank God for places our children can be right now and in safety learn about the God that we serve. I'm not saying we should feel bad about that. I'm just saying much has been given, therefore much is required. And so you have need of endurance. And so we have to press in. We have to take responsibility for our own stones. We have to put away lukewarmness. We have to put away our own agenda. We have to get about with our Father's business because the next generation has to know. Judges 2:10. And all that generation gathered to their fathers, Joshua's generation, and there arose another generation after them who did not know the Lord or the work that he had done. Look, there the stones lay. What do those stones mean? I don't know. Do you know? Nope. And so you have stones. You can seek memorial stones, and then what happens is you become a living stone, a living memorial stone. I'll end with this. 1 Peter 2:4-5. Before this in the scripture, it says that Jesus is the stone that was rejected, but he became what? The chief cornerstone. He's the chief memorial stone. And he says, but you also have come to him and you are a living stone rejected by men, disallowed by men, but chosen of God and precious. You also, as living stones, are being built up into a spiritual house. All those stones of faith and trust and memorial are being built up into God's house, his kingdom in which he dwells, and we're that holy priesthood, and we offer up spiritual sacrifices and say, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord, and the humble will hear and be glad. The scary part of this is that not only were those stones laying there in the next generation and nobody knew who they were, but now those stones became a judgment. You see, memorial stones can either be your cheerleaders or your judgment. In Joshua 24, and now I'm honestly going to end with this scripture. In Joshua 24, the people are saying, we're going to follow God. We're going to do his commandment. And Joshua says, no, you're not. There's an encouraging preacher. No. We're going to grow up. We're going to put on our big boy pants and we're going to walk in the covenant that God has called us to. Joshua's like, no, you're not. No, you're not. And so this is what Joshua says. He says, and Joshua wrote these words. What words? That they said, I will do this. We will follow our God. We will not worship other gods. We will be obedient to his laws and his statutes. Blah, 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 blah. And he wrote it all down. And then what did he do? He took a great stone. He took a memorial stone. And he set it up under an oak tree, tamarisk tree. Abraham, a tree of covenant that was by the sanctuary, by the house of the Lord. And Joshua said unto the people, behold, this stone shall be a witness. The stone is here watching. It's heard all your words and all the words of the Lord, which he spake to us. And it shall be for a witness unto you, lest you deny your God. Wow, all those things God did, and there they lay, and the next generation has no idea what they are. Let's not let that happen. Let's not let that happen. The responsibility falls on us. Our children are looking to us. Our communities are looking to us. If my people. Amen. Let's stand together. I don't know if you want to get yourself a real staff or you just want to get yourself a spiritual staff. But your Father wants to write beautiful things on there. Or have you put things on there that he's already done? You walked as the representation of your family, of your father and mother, of their father and mother, and you walked into the middle of the Jordan and you grabbed a stone and you look back and you look at all the incredible things God has done down the legacy of your family. Or like me, it started with you. So like Paul, we look at today, we say, if God be for us, who can be against us? Jesus said, I will build my kingdom and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Those are the words of your Savior. I will build my kingdom. And the gates of hell will not prevail against it. I think he's doing it with or without us. So, Father, I thank you for your word today. I thank you for the reality of it. I thank you for convicting my heart. Even as I speak those words, Lord, I recognize my weakness and I recognize my what's the word? When you go back and forth, you sway, and you're double-minded in certain areas. Forgive me, Lord, for the things that I fear. Because when I fear them, it's just a flag that says, hello, is that greater than my God? So, Father, forgive me. Forgive us of our apathy. Forgive us of our lukewarmness. Forgive us of our forgetting what you've done in the past and who you are today. Call upon me in the day of trouble and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things that you don't know. And so, Lord, I just speak this reality and benediction over us. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him. And he shall direct your paths in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Amen. God bless you. Have a wonderful week in the Lord.